Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, one of the world's most beautiful women and successful models, has worked for all the big global fashion brands, Abercrombie and Fitch and Burberry, Ralph Lauren, DKNY. And of course, it was one of Victoria's Secret's most well-known angels once upon a time. She's joining us now to say hello, good morning to you, Rosie.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you too. Thanks for having me.
You're in a lot of the papers in Ireland today.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it good?
It's I
just get scared when people tell me I'm in the papers.
What would you be worried about?
Oh, you know, it's scary, the tabloids sometimes. But is it all good?
It's all good here. The tabloids like you today.
Good.
Now, tomorrow's a different story, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
how are you with that interest in your life? Is that to get on your nerves, or do you just roll with it?
You roll with it. It kind of, I think when it first started a few years ago, it was definitely something that kind of was a little overwhelming. But you kind of roll with it because one day you're up and the next day you're not.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you know, you embrace one day and then some days you're not. And it kind of, it's a bit more disposable than I realized. And it kind of really honestly doesn't have that effect on my life. I get on and I do my things. It sort of happens to everybody else, really. So kind of just get on and ignore anything. But either way, even if it's good or it's bad, you just sort of get on with what you're doing.
You say disposable, which is a great word for the kind of fast food approach to insulting that goes on nowadays. It mm-hmm. kind of comes and goes so quickly, thanks mm-hmm. to the antisocial network, that mm-hmm. it just vaporizes almost as soon as it's gone. And also,
yeah.
you might be worried about what people are saying about you, but actually, the rest of the world couldn't give a monkey's.
Exactly.
They're all doing their own job.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Rosie. You're from Devon originally.
Yes.
And was it an exotic and glamorous life, or was it low-key and sheltered?
It was very low-key and really sheltered. I grew up just outside of a town called Tavistock, which is where I went to school, local comprehensive. And, you know, I grew up in a small farmhouse, my brother and sister, mum and dad. And it was just a real country sort of life, country yeah. bumpkin, to be honest with you. And kind of up in the fields most days and doing country things, lots of animals. We had a sort of small kind of self-sufficient farm. My parents aren't farmers, but we had a small farmhouse and we'd, you know, grow your own vegetables. And we had chickens and ducks and sheep and pigs.
It sounds like Miss Marple might have been a neighbour.
Yeah, it was a real... you know, at the time growing up, I kind of just couldn't wait to get out of Devon and see the real world and kind of get out and explore. And all I wanted to do was get to London. But, you know, I look back now and I just feel very, very lucky that I had such a sheltered childhood. And I was a child for, you know, up until I was 16. I was very naive and I had an innocent upbringing around really lovely people. So I feel grateful for that.
It's managed
to keep me grounded.
Exactly. That's a lovely thing to be able to say, because childhood gets stripped away from someone. Kids at such an early stage now, thanks to obviously online and magazines, what TV, whatever it might be, and it's nice to hear that you were able to maintain that element of naivety, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it is really important, and you know, it is, our world is so fast paced now, and I feel lucky that I kind of was before the whole social media kind of takeover of the world now, and I did sort of get that last bit of childhood where it just really was, you know, I remember getting my first mobile phone, you know, in my mid-teens and things, and you know, I've seen the way technology has just transformed everything, even in my job. You know, when I first started modeling, everything was shot on film, and in the 12 years I've been working now, you know, I don't remember the last time somebody took my picture on a film camera.
Yeah.
Now it's digital and everything's so fast, you know, you can have your picture taken and, you know, an hour later it's all over the internet, which is great, has its ups and downs, and it should be embraced, and but it also should be something we're kind of cautious about, I think, sometimes.
When someone is as beautiful looking as you are, and I'm not being a sleaze, I'm just saying it's fact, yeah, it's just a hazard of your job. Well, when somebody looks as gorgeous as you, and I've interviewed a lot of models and successful and gorgeous women, and oftentimes it's their beauty is held against them when they're at school.
Oh, yeah, I definitely
got that happened to you. I mean, you know, the way, no one wants anyone else to be that gorgeous. And,
well, it's funny. It's interesting because really I grew up in, like I said, I grew up in a very sheltered environment. And, you know, I don't really remember ever being told I was cute as a little girl or that I was pretty or that I should be a model. We kind of all just got along and did the same things. And, you know, so it was not really something I kind of ever felt as a child in any way. And I probably was a bit of an ugly duckling as well, to be honest with you.
Well, I believe that too, because you probably, when you're a teenager, you can have pronounced features that mightn't work in the schoolyard, but will on a catwalk in due course.
Yeah, I definitely got teased because I have a full mouth. That was always the something that people would have a lot of fun making fun of me at school. But you know, it's all fun. It was all fun at the time.
And you were spotted clearly for modeling future. Was it? I mean, I know talking to somebody like Erin O'Connor, who was kind of another. She was kind of angular, if you like, a teenager,
yeah,
and was spotted by model Hunter, if you want to call him that, mm-hmm, who said, "Look, you've got something. Let's go and work with that." What was your spot, if you like?
That's an interesting question. I think it's probably different for everybody, but I guess I've always been, I don't know, I guess my, you know, my lips are a bit of a trademark and, you know, and I've been a lingerie model since I was basically, you know, very early on that became the thing that I sort of fell into. And so a lot of that has to play, you know, that kind of plays into the whole body as well. And so it's, you know, but I don't know. I try not to think about it.
Yeah, don't.
It's
okay.
A weird thing.
So why are we talking today, Rosie?
Well, we're talking today, obviously, it's lovely to be here, but I'm actually just launched my first fragrance with Marks & Spencer, which went on sale yesterday, and so I can tell you a bit about that.
Yes, it's a shame I can't smell it because for obvious reasons. There's a sea separating us, but you have Rosie for autograph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going to have to, well, it's actually probably just as well I can't smell it because you have to explain it for everyone now.
I can explain it to you. Well, yes. I've been working with Marks & Spencer now for about 3 years on my lingerie line, which has been inspired by roses and, you know, all the prints and the colours and the fabrics have always been inspired by roses. And, you know, as with lingerie, which is very personal and very intimate to women, I wanted to create something that felt that way as well. And so fragrance felt like the next kind of evolution. Mm-hmm. With the brand development, and what I really wanted to do was create a perfume that has the heart note of a rose, which kind of is inspired by the great British countryside, inspired by my name a little bit, inspired by my love of the scent of rose. And I think rose, the one thing that was really interesting to me was that rose is that classic scent that kind of is something that we all have a kind of relationship with. And it was also a scent that I felt was appealing to women across the board. And with this fragrance, as with my lingerie, I really wanted to create something that was, you know, available and appealing to a woman in her 20s, to a woman in her 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
And so that was a bit of a challenge.
Well, that is a challenge because, I mean, look, you're talking to a bloke here, obviously, but having said that, you have, you know, for perfume, from my understanding, some perfumes are considered older ladies' perfume.
Yeah.
And some might be too young, you know, almost teenager. And then some is, as you say, 20 something, maybe 30 something. So I don't know necessarily the difference as much. I know when I smell a nice scent, it's really quite, it's quite becoming, to say the least.
Yeah.
And then when you smell a bad one, it has the very opposite effect.
Exactly.
Regardless of the beauty of the person.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the thing that rose kind of was a really interesting starting place for me, because I think it is quite a classic smell, a rose. And then I wanted to sort of bring a kind of modern, fresh, contemporary scent to it as well. And so, you know, the heart note of the fragrance is rose. And then we threw in a bit of magnolia and some pepper. And it sort of ended up in this kind of quite classic but youthful scent. And it's sensual and intimate and very feminine and girly. And it's a sort of, you know, it was inspired by a kind of rose in bloom, early mornings in the British countryside. Yeah. And, you know, so far, the feedback has been positive. I'm going to hear anything else.
No, of course not. I expect nothing less from you, Rosie. But what makes a scent sensual?
That's an interesting thing, and that's also, I think, you know, that's a very personal question. You know, a scent is different for everybody. Mm. Like you said, a beautiful scent can be very becoming, it can be very attractive, it can be very alluring, and then, you know, the same scent to somebody else might be quite a bit of a turn-off almost.
Yeah.
That was really the interesting thing with scent, is because we sort of... There's so much nostalgic memories that go into, you know, when we smell something, it can take us right back to our childhood or right back to somebody that was in our lives, like, you know, our mothers or our grandmothers or, you know, an ex-partner or something like that. And so scent is very individual to all of us. And I think that, you know, some people are going to love the perfume and some people might not, but it's definitely a challenge. And I'm a big personal fan of it. That comes as no shock.
And I'm actually very keen to get how do you say politely a whiff? I want to say to get a whiff of that. It's the fierce bang of Rosie off that. You know what I mean? You'd have to have a whiff of it before you kind of you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So you're doing all of that, and then we're going to see you in Mad Max.
Absolutely. So Mad Max Fury Road hits the cinemas in mid-May.
Did you film in a real place, or was it all green screen?
We filmed in a real place.
Well,
actually, hardly any of the film was shot on green
screen. Sick of green screen films.
Any of the green screen was shot in the middle of the desert in Namibia.
Right, okay.
I think there was, just very few scenes that we had to do on green screen. And that's such a great thing for an actor to really be a part of a real set and to be interacting with real things. And even back when we did Transformers, there was actually very little filmed on green screen. And being so green like myself with acting and not really having much experience, but I could really see the difference it made for the other actors and, you know, how exhausting green screen can be. And sort of just mind numbing.
It kind of exudes
that in the final film for the audience.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that you speak to a lot of actors, and they'll say that the green screen is the most boring. Like, could you imagine being Lord of the Rings? You probably just never stepped outside of some dark room.
Yeah, and it's a real challenge of your imagination as well, which is obviously something actors have to have a strong imagination, but it really is challenging when you're kind of having a conversation with a wall with an X on it, you know, and you're trying to kind of act scared, or you're trying to act and kind of emote some kind of feeling, and there's kind of nothing there to do it with, so.
Are you a regular in Ireland at all? Have you been, or...?
I've been a couple times to Ireland. It's one of my favourite places. I love coming. I used to go to County Kildare a few times.
Okay.
And I was hoping that we might be coming over to Ireland tomorrow. We set a competition for all the stores across all the Marks & Spencer stores across the nation.
Yeah, what happened?
So you could sell the most fragrance.
Yeah, what happened?
Unfortunately,
what happened?
Ireland didn't make the cut. So
that would explain why you're here today, so that they do make the cut for the next time you run the competition. Okay, gotcha. Rosie, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for your time.
And we'll see you the next time you come over to Kildare, wherever you might be.
All right,
take care. Thanks, Rosie.
Bye bye.
That's Rosie Huntington Whiteley joining us on the line there to talk about Devon. And movies, and of course her new perfume, which is called Rosie for Autograph, which is a modern floral oriental eau de parfum, and that is available from Marks & Spencer's as it happens right now.